Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They keep showing the Notre Dame highlight in the background.
I can't
of the girl
believe she hit that shot.
Hitting that shot. Unbelievable.
Back-to-back games.
And they had a foul to give, right? They did.
Yes,
I believe they had two fouls. Did. They could have fouled.
They were
up.
They were trailing by two, correct?
No,
or
it was tied.
It was tied.
Yeah, I mean, she was free-rolling.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, crazy game-winning shot.
Well, what's funny is UConn, you know, she hit the shot against UConn. Now, this was more of a heave. All right, that was a heave. The one against UConn,
similar,
she got
though
a good look. But the last year when the UConn lost to, I think it was South Carolina in the Final Four, the girl hit the shot from almost the same spot as the girl from Notre Dame.
Right.
Very eerie. But
it's also stunning that Connecticut hasn't won the last 2 years.
I know.
Because they win games on the regular by 50 or more.
Well, and then they beat.
But it takes those kind of buzzer beaters.
They beat the team, South Carolina, who they beat or lost in the national championship last year. It was a 2 seed. They beat them by 30. I think it was a 30-point game.
Yeah.
And they lose to Notre Dame. Good for them.
Well, so that's incredible. Our women's national championship coverage.
Well, it's what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and if you haven't seen it, of course, you'll see the highlights all day today. It's pretty incredible.
Question is, who's going to stay up for the entire game tonight? That's the question.
It depends.
I think it's unlikely that I do.
Yeah. If anybody would do it.
And I'm not
you.
Even sure who I'm rooting for. That's the thing.
For some reason, I'm rooting for Villanova. I don't know why.
So am I.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that
I win the pool regardless.
Yeah.
So you've already locked it up?
Locked it up.
I just suspect that Villanova obviously is not going to shoot as well as they did Saturday night.
By the way,
but they might not have to.
Is this a show?
Okay.
So, now it was Drunken Rom, but so my buddy Frank came, and Frank's in the pool, and Frank told me that Dylan and I were going to win. So, like, our team name is Dylan and JP or whatever, JP and Son, whatever the heck our team name is in this pool. It's like 30 teams, and I really hadn't been following it. And then Frank tells me, he's like, dude, do you know you're top of the pool? And then I was like, really? And I said, why don't you punch it up? And he's like, it looks like no matter what happens tonight, you're going to win because certain people have picked Villanova to win it, including us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have more points than them, and I think we had three of the final four teams, whatever. And so I just told Dylan, now I'm going to split. We win $400. I'll give him $200, and I keep $200. Now he did do the majority of the picking.
Yeah, you got to give.
Oh, you got to give it. Give it all to him. You don't deserve it. Come on, he did the picking. And he's a kid.
I mean, he
you
gets all the money anyway.
You don't need the money.
What's he gonna do with $400?
Yeah, I mean it's semantics anyway.
Right.
If I give him the money, what difference does it make? It's just gonna go in the bank account, which is under my name.
Take some for yourself.
I don't know. Give him the money.
Take a finder's fee.
Well, if Villanova wins, then I win the KenPom pool. And because KenPom has Michigan and I have Villanova, so it's do or die tonight. Now, I might be jinxing it, but Villanova player for player is better than Michigan. I mean, they've got bigs who can match up with Wagner. Simpson played so bad. Brunson will eat Simpson alive.
Wagner's a pro, though, right?
Oh, yeah. He'll be a good stretch four in the NBA.
That's what I said.
He's a good player.
Frank was telling me, oh, he's G League. I was like, what?
Oh, no. He's
I was like, he's a pro. He said that early in the game.
He's athletic.
Then he had 24 and 15.
He's a good player. So the only other players who've had 20 and 15 in a Final Four game have been Hakeem and Larry Bird. And now Mo Wagner.
I can't concentrate.
It's pretty cool.
I'm looking at Elizabeth Hurley's Instagram. Did you see the picture that went viral?
No.
Elizabeth Hurley is 52 years old.
Still hot.
She's the hottest 52-year-old God's ever created. Ever. Like, remember they used to flaunt, like, Sophia Loren back in the day when she was, like, in her 60s or whatever?
Christie Brinkley's still silly.
Okay. Go look at Elizabeth.
I see her pics all the time.
What do you think? That's the hottest 52-year-old in the country, in the world, in the universe, in the strategy, the whatever's bigger than the universe.
Galaxy?
Yes. All the Milky Way. The Snickers. She's the hottest anywhere.
I don't know how to make a transition to this next story.
Well, hold on. Can you just look?
I know she's very attractive.
But very attractive. Yeah. The biggest understatement in history.
She's got a very nice body.
Look, Jason. That's Liz Hurley, 52 years old.
She's amazing.
But I think he's right. There are others that are equal.
I don't believe it.
Well, Christie Brinkley is an example.
No.
Please. How old is Christie Brinkley?
She's 60.
I think she's like 60.
She looks great for 60. She doesn't look like that.
No.
That looks like a 29-year-old.
I would agree.
And
I will,
that's the hottest 52-year-old
and
guy
I was
ever
always
created.
A fan of Raquel White.
History of the world.
That is a proof there's a guy.
History of the world.
That's proof
no,
there's a guy.
That's not. There's a, that's a proof that there's a silly plastic surgeon.
I mean, God, her body's nice.
I'm talking mostly about the body. Forget about the face. Face is perfect, too. I'm talking about the body.
She goes undergoes a lot of treatment.
Okay. Who cares?
Well, you're acting like it's a, some natural God-created silly.
Well, she was
created about 30 years ago.
And still looks silly. And find me a moment
way
where
more
she
recently
slipped.
Than 30.
Find me a moment where she slipped and she had to race to the doctor. That's proof there's God. You should be going to church for that picture.
I'm sure God appreciates this conversation.
Well,
thou shalt not covet,
Crabby.
EB.
I'm not coveting. I'm just saying.
You got to give her props.
You got to give
no,
her props.
No, she's silly.
That's the hottest 52-year-old God ever created. Ever. That's his masterpiece right there. That's God's masterpiece. Sorry.
So I want to bring up this story about Mark Rippon.
He's such a dork.
Mark Rippon, who comes on our show pretty frequently. We've had
whenever we call him,
Rip
he'll
on,
come on
actually fairly frequently. Is, when he talks about golf, plays in the charity
story.
Golf tournaments, and of course, former Super Bowl MVP. It seems like more and more guys are becoming comfortable talking about their battles with depression, and he is the latest. He said people think that you have to be knocked out to have a concussion. There are hundreds of times you shake it off and get back in there. It's all about the cumulative hits. That's what causes brain damage. And he is now admitting that he actually attempted suicide.
Yep.
And suffers from persistent depression, anxiety, and isolation.
This is crazy. Says he took 150 pills and a bottle of booze. If it wasn't for my wife coming home, finding me on the floor, shoving hydrogen peroxide and charcoal down my throat so I would throw up, he said I'd be dead.
Mm. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
But he had a dark, he said, like he made these allusions to these dark times, you know, like he was going to this, he was going to get these shady massages or whatever he was doing.
Right.
Like, yeah, he had a whole thing. So a lot of guilt played in, plus depression, and I'm sure the cumulative effect
went through
of the
divorce,
concussions.
I believe.
Yes, I think a couple maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. It is sad. You know, I don't want to make of it too, though. Like, is it all because of the concussions, or is it just because he's had a hard life? Like,
I don't know, but you missed this last week, and we didn't spend that much time on it. But like with the concussion stuff, and then this new rule that the NFL is coming out, we talked about it. USA Today went through just one half of I think it was a Bengals game, and they found 29 plays where under the new rule. They could throw a flag.
And that it is what? It's the way the guy leads with his head?
Yeah.
So just keep your head up.
Head up, right. Well, that's good. I mean, that's
but I mean,
even,
running
that's,
backs
that's even
going
the, ball,
the hole,
that's even the ball
down.
Carrier. That's even the ball carrier.
Yes.
Yeah. That they can't enforce that.
Offensive linemen.
Do you like this is a different topic, but do you like the reworded sort of catch rule? Did you guys go over that?
Yes.
Seems good.
Yeah, it's simpler. Yeah.
Seems good. Seems
makes
to make sense.
You shouldn't be able to catch a ball, take
if
three
it
steps,
bobbles
then you
a little
fall,
bit.
You fall down out of bounds and you hit the ground and it
but
moves.
It can bobble a little bit, but if you have control, it's still fine.
Right.
Right? That's
I always said the Jesse James, when he caught it.
He can wiggle a little bit, but it's still a catch.
When Jesse James caught it, everybody said it's a catch. He caught it at like the 4-yard line. And then he lunges for the end zone. First of all, he caught it, turned around, lunges for the end zone, and then he drops it. I'm sorry. It's a catch.
Right.
Broke point.
Well, that's what they're saying.
I think they're closer. I think they're a
but
lot
the
closer.
Other rule, they may have botched. Now, who knows how they're going to enforce it?
It all depends on
once
the
season comes.
Right.
But, look, it's because of all these concussions and the lawsuits and all that stuff. They're trying to do something.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what's the NFL supposed to do? I mean, they get sued and they pay $1 billion, and then they do this, and people criticize this.
Did you guys?
We've done a billion goofy contests on the show. We just have people sign waivers. Just make every NFL player sign
what?
A waiver.
Probably should.
I'm sure they do. On some level.
Every NFL player knows the risks. Every single one.
Did you guys cover last week where the Redskins continuing to pile on Kirk, where Jay said something to the effect of Alex was a clear upgrade at quarterback? Did you guys talk
Not
about
really.
That at all?
There
and
was,
that even
I think,
if that Kirk was willing to sign, like Alex was their number one choice.
We're trying to move on from
obvious.
The Kirk discussions.
We are, but I think it's obvious that Jay did not like Kirk.
Well, they obviously weren't best buds, but
well,
we
I mean,
kind of
I'm just talking about as a player.
He wasn't his favorite.
There was something about him he didn't like.
He wasn't his favorite.
Yeah, I mean,
back to years when he
made too many comments. He made too many comments.
They won't stop.
He didn't like them.
They won't stop over there.
Yeah. He's much happier with Alex.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a sad story about Rip. Hopefully he'll be okay.
It sounds like he's
Every time he comes on this show, he sounds very jovial, but clearly.
But everyone has dark moments and demons. Everyone does. So his seemed to be fairly significant. Hopefully he's got it under control. You just never know.
And there probably is something to the people with CTE and the concussions.
Probably.
That is just.
Probably,
more
but
common.
Like Drabby said, he had maybe a brother that may have committed suicide. So then you wonder, is there a depression that runs in the family? You know, right. There's a lot of factors.
I mean, I didn't know that about his brother.
I don't know. Drabby said that. He spread that rumor. Hopefully, hopefully it's true. Like, hopefully it's not true, but hopefully it's true.
Is that the kid's Brett Rippin who played the boys? His dad,
Rick Rippin. He died in 2011.
I wonder if that's Brett Rippin's dad.
He was a hockey player.
So did he? Was that a concussion thing too? Maybe that could have been. Who knows?
Was Brett Rippin
maybe
still
it
a boys?
Brother,
or did he graduate? Brett Rippin.
I think he graduated, yeah. I think.
You still have that frame in your house, the let him rip or whatever it is?
Absolutely. I'll never get rid of that. Why would I get rid of that?
I don't know.
I'd be like, no. You
it's
rid
so
of, like,
long ago now.
What? We won a Super Bowl.
I know.
It's probably the last one I'll ever see.
It is amazing, though, that people
with
who
the
are,
framed SI?
Of course. Yeah, I think he signed
that.
It for
that
me.
People
gotta,
who are,
of course you got
to keep it.
What's he laughing about?
I'd
throw it away.
It just makes me think of during this entire tenure. That we've been doing this radio show, it's so far in the past, the Redskins winning a championship, that we have people that listen to the show, like people that came out to MGM National Harbor over the weekend that are longtime listeners of the show, but they're like 35, that they really haven't seen any success from any of the local teams.
Eventually.
We've had some great regular seasons.
But they were so young.
Maybe this year.
They were so young they can't really remember.
Maybe it's the Caps. Maybe it's the Nats. You just never know.
If you ask me right now, who am I most excited about right now? We're on the cusp of the NHL and NBA playoffs.
I know what you're
going
to say.
Nats.
Right.
Nats.
Because you're not in the playoffs where they always
I thought you were going to say Tiger.
Well, it's the biggest week, but I don't expect Tiger to do much this week. I mean, I think he'll be somewhat relevant.
Oh, I think he'll be a contender.
I don't think he's going to win.
I don't think he's going to win it.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win.
He's going to be in the mix.
Maybe. But to me, if you ask me about the three local teams, because the Redskins aren't relevant right now, I'm most excited about the Nats.
You should
and
be.
It's bizarre, too.
Because only
we're right on the cusp of the
only
NBA
159
playoffs.
More games to go.
Yeah, but I don't know. I felt like for some reason this might be a little bit of a down year for the Nats, but that 3-0 sweep of the Reds got me thinking otherwise.
Oh, my God.
Because the Reds are bombing.
There's only 159 games left.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back, do some 5-10, then Chelsea James from the Washington Post will join us at 9:40. We'll talk about your Nats right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Chelsea James from the Washington Post is going to join us coming up in 15 minutes to talk about the Nats off to a 3-0 start. Adam Eaton, who is hitting .667, he'll be on Grant Danny at 11 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. Of course, he went 5-for-5 on Saturday with a home run. Then he backed that up with a single and a two-run home run yesterday in their third
win.
Man,
he's been killing the ball.
So Adam Eaton joins the boys live at 11 a.m. Right Very now, cool. We're going to do some 5-10. So I'm going to play some audio here at the top of the 5-10 of the ESPN announcers reacting to the game-winning shot of the national championship on the women's side. And the thing that was interesting about this, and we're going to show the video as well on NBC Sports Washington, is the play-by-play announcer, of course, is making the call. His name's Adam Amin.
Yep.
And the two color commentators are Carol Lawson, who, of course, calls Wizards games on NBC Sports
Washington. I was wondering why she wasn't doing the game yesterday.
And Rebecca Lobo. And obviously, as a color commentator, when the play-by-play announcer is doing the call, you want to take a back seat. But the real interesting thing, and the reason why this went viral, not only is it an amazing game-winning shot, this great call, is that Rebecca Lobo goes nuts. And Kara Lawson just simply looks to the side, like her eyebrows are raised a little bit. I think because she's just being a consummate professional, letting it breathe, you know, letting the audience explode. And she's doing the TV call too, right? So you watch everything there and she's not jumping in. But it was almost like her reaction was a non-reaction.
So is this a visual?
There's a visual and, of course, just a great call. Do we have it ready to go right now?
For a trip to the national championship. Ogunbowale. Good! 1 second remaining. No timeouts for UConn. Williams down the floor. Samuelson. Notre Dame with the win. Off to the title game.
So that's before the call in the national championship game. Do we have the national championship call?
Ogunbowale for the win. Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
And so again, if you watch it.
So wait a minute. So the game where Rebecca Lobo goes nuts, is that the UConn game or the national championship game?
National championship
game. National championship game.
Right. But she also she went to UConn, which would
she
be
She also
weird.
Doesn't jump in. But the interesting thing was, like, she's going nuts to see. And then Adam Amin is, like, standing up watching it while he's doing the play-by-play. And Kara Lawson's just chill.
Really?
Eyes focused.
Is this chick the hit the game winner? Is she, like, their stud? Like, is she their superstar? Is she their Kara Lawson?
I know this.
Or is she just the right?
That's a tough name.
Or is she Robert
Horry?
I don't know. They lost some players to ACL injuries during the year, so I'm not sure if one of those kids was their top scorer or not. But she's been
Notre Dame
best player in the last few games.
Right. Yeah. I'm just wondering, was she, like, up for the player of the year or whatever? Was she that kind of player?
Pedro probably know more than I would.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
I think her brother played football at Wisconsin. I think so.
Not often do I do stories about the MLS on 5 and 10, but noteworthy story, this stud, I struggle to pronounce
Zlatan
his name. Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
Has come over to play in the MLS, and on Saturday, first of all, the balls of a guy who takes a full-page ad and says, you're welcome. His full-page ad wasn't... Thank you. His full page ad was, you're welcome. Like, right. I'm coming here.
That's pretty funny.
And so the I think he's playing for LA Galaxy, right?
Correct.
There are two teams in LA now. And he's playing for LA Galaxy, and he comes in to his first game as a sub with about 17 minutes left, and they're down 3-2. And you're welcome. He scores two goals in those 17 minutes, including a 40-yard goal, essentially.
A spectacular goal.
I saw the highlight of that. That's crazy.
Spectacular goal. The goalie was
pretty amazing.
Out of position.
As the boy said, is this the biggest name to ever join the MLS? I forgot David Beckham was in the MLS.
Right.
So David Beckham,
sure sounds like he might be in a top two or three.
But I don't think David Beckham, he was still a good player, but I don't think he was as good at that point in his career.
Well, this guy's 36, though, too.
Yeah,
I think he's
still
on the downside, clearly. In fact, I think at Manchester last year, I didn't think he played but like 5 or 6 games.
Well, he tore his ACL. So okay. He's coming off an ACL rehab. But as far
that's
as like
the guy
a year
who they had
ago.
Like the kickboxing video of him rehabbing. Did you see that
so,
went viral?
Yeah.
Like 3 months into his rehab, he was already doing like kickboxing.
Right.
Yeah.
You just keep an eye on it because Zlatan is like the cockiest athlete in the world.
Hey, well,
and he backs it up time and time again.
Tell the boys a story about, you know, always bet against cakes. Tell the story about cakes betting on the Tottenham game.
Yeah, so Chelsea has beaten Tottenham 28 years in a row at home. And Friday during the show, Cakes comes up to me and says he heard it on Twitter and he was definitely going to bet on Chelsea.
Right. What happened?
Tottenham won 3-1.
First time in 28 years.
He literally has the worst luck.
That's hysterical.
He'd be just an excuse for you to play the Masters music.
Thank
you did
you.
Mention it last segment, but I put this in the 5 and 10 because Tiger Woods himself has said he finds it to be a joke. That he is the favorite to win the Masters.
It's an absolute joke. I mean, I think he'll be somewhat relevant. But
he's one of the favorites. Is he the outright favorite?
He was as of last week.
Yeah, it kind of depends on where
he was number one.
I see him at 10-1 here, but so is DJ, Rory, and JT.
And your boy Hank Haney on his show said...
you don't think he's going
to
win.
He hasn't found one touring pro that thinks Woods is going to win Augusta. He goes on to say, why do they say that? Because you can't hit irons at Augusta.
Off the tee, right.
Especially,
and that's what kept him relevant when he had those real high finishes, is he kept the driver in the bag.
Especially when it's going to be wet, if it's supposedly going to rain on Wednesday.
Well, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think he should go Henrik and just hit 3-wood and just bomb it, you know, 310 and go with that.
He can for most of those holes, but there's a couple driver holes. Like the par 5s, you got
to I think 13 to par 5, a lot of times he hits 3-wood.
And so right now, where is he in driving accuracy amongst the pros, EB?
Oh, he's got to be in 140s or something like
202nd.
Yeah.
Having only found about 52% of fairways.
I told you, he hasn't won at Augusta since 2005. They've tiger-proofed the course, essentially.
Yeah. Well, also his putting, too. He in years past, he hasn't been a great putter at the Masters. But he's been putting well this year. I'd like to see where his putting numbers are.
So, of course, this weekend there were a couple holidays. It was Passover, and then yesterday was Easter. But it also
did you get any Easter peeps?
Gave some peeps to the kids, but I'm not a peeps fan.
People definitely know I like peeps. I got two packages
of peeps.
Do you
like the yellow or the pink? Is there any difference?
I would prefer the yellow, but they're all the same. They all go down the same.
But it's also April Fool's Day, and Anthony Davis got in on the bit. Remember, he tweeted last week, he put a poll up, should he shave the unibrow? And then I just brought this up just so we could bring up, I think, how stupid April Fool's is. But he did then either tweet or Instagram or Facebook, whatever, a video. It was clearly a Red Bull ad because he had a Red Bull towel as he did it, and then he has himself showing the unibrow. He's like, all right, I'm going to do it, and then the camera goes away, and then they did a good job with makeup or whatever. He looked 100 times better without the unibrow.
So he actually did not shave it? I thought
he did not shave it. It was an April Fool's joke.
Right.
Well, hold on. So I thought in years past, I mean, hasn't he had moments where he has shaved it?
Not that I'm aware of.
In college or whatever?
I don't think so.
Clean it up a little bit like Cakes does?
That.
Why wouldn't he clean it up a little bit? Is that big a deal?
It's his brand. It's his signature.
It's still going to look huge even if he shaves it. It's still going to look huge.
He tweeted afterwards. He goes, come on, y'all. You knew I wasn't cutting it. LOL. April Fools. We got you at Red Bull.
So stupid.
I actually, for a few seconds, bought it. So I went on Twitter yesterday, and there was an April Fools article about the Redskins re-signing
RG3.
Well,
you knew that.
Well,
you didn't think for one second.
No, I would say 2 or 3 seconds.
You 2 seconds?
I read the first sentence.
Oh, the one that got me? The Lions trading for the number one pick for Saquon.
Right.
And
I didn't see that.
That got me. I read that whole thing until the bottom where they said April Fools. Is all BS. Because that one got me. I could see that. They need running back.
But I just never think about April Fool's. So if anything I read, I'm just going to believe it.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking
about it. When you read the RG3 thing, you knew that was complete.
Well, I didn't read
but
it.
But I wasn't aware of April Fool's. And then I read that article, and about 3 sentences in, I was like, it's April Fool's Day.
So dumb. Yeah. God, I hate April
Apparently,
Fool's.
Apparently, the guy from The Bachelor got a lot of heat because he tweeted
that his girlfriend was pregnant or something.
Yeah, his girlfriend was pregnant, and Bachelor Nation got upset. I think one of my wife's friends sent a group text to her friends that her husband had had a vasectomy, but she got pregnant anyway. Mm-hmm. And then all these people, all these women, her friends were congratulating her. And there
April
was April Fools.
April Fools.
Oh, my God. Who did that?
One of my wife's friends.
Gotcha.
But today's April 1, right? Or was that yesterday?
It was yesterday. Today's the
2nd. Oh, okay.
And you missed it all. You missed all the hullabaloo.
Last thing mentioned, speaking of social media, this is the kind of stuff you miss. Joel Embiid continues to holler at Rihanna. He tweeted,
"Even with his broken orbital
are
bone?
You single or nah?" ? But then he questioned himself afterwards, and he then tweeted a few minutes later, "Process stop. I thought you were an all-star." So he keeps grasping, but then he felt bad that he's grasping because he's an all-star, and he shouldn't have to grasp. He's Joel Embiid.
Well,
that's funny.
And
like
he will be back before the 4 week. They said 2 to 4. He'll be back in 2 weeks.
Have you seen some of the false clips?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
Explosive to the basket.
Except for he almost took out their best player.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not happy about that.
But. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. He had 15 points, I think, and 8 assists in his first game in about 14 minutes.
Hit a jumper. Yeah. He's very explosive to the basket.
Oh, very
All
athletic.
That's legit still
I mean,
there.
He was the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Sick athlete.
Should be good.
Well, it's just crazy how people were willing to write him off. Crazy.
He had some sort of
something was
mental
going on.
Problem. He had a Steve Sachs situation.
I think something was going on.
Couldn't throw to first base
I think
anymore.
It was more mental than physical.
No question about it. Yeah. All right. Nationals, of course, are off to a great start. We talked about them earlier in the show. They are 3-0. We'll talk to Chelsea James from the Washington Post about the red-hot Washington Nationals next. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. After us, of course, is Grand Danny, and they have Adam Eaton joining them at 11 o'clock. Don't want to miss that. Adam Eaton on a tear, of course, 5-for-5 on Saturday with a home run. Single and a two-run homer yesterday in the win. Nats off to a 3-0 start. Join us right now to give us the latest on the Washington Nationals, including some possible injury news. Chelsea James from the Washington Post. And I guess we should start there. Saw you tweeted out about the catcher situation. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, I mean, Pedro Severino's in Atlanta. He's going to meet them. Wieters is dealing with something. We haven't really heard what yet, but I get the sense it's like an oblique type thing. And they're going to figure out today whether he needs to go on the DL or not. They can bring up Severino and kind of keep him around if they need him. But I would bet they will need him, and we'll probably see Wieters down for a little bit here.
So we have no idea what the injury is.
I have heard from people, that it's an oblique-ish thing, and we saw him catch warm-up pitches yesterday and get in a squat, and, the kind of thing that would indicate it's not arm or leg. So that makes sense, but I have not heard officially.
Gotcha.
So the Nats have gotten off to a great start, obviously. I don't know what to make of it. You're playing the Reds, whatever. But still, I mean, everybody's pitching great. I mean, lineup, everybody's contributing. The Adam Eaton thing's unbelievable. The one thing that I do find kind of annoying, Chelsea, and I don't think you're guilty of it, but I think some of the people that are covering this team, they can't wait to tweet every time Ryan Zimmerman does something wrong and all relate it back to the spring training he had, right? Oh, he just grounded a double play. He didn't do spring training. Oh, he just hit the runner. Oh, he didn't do spring training. I just feel like that's too easy.
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't seen that a whole lot, but I'm sure, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously unreasonable, but he's been fine. I think he's been perfectly fine. I think, it's just his kind of galling to have people freak out that he's not in the lineup Saturday, So it's whatever. It's just a weird situation, but he's fine. He's very clearly fine from the way he's played. Mm-hmm. He almost looks a little better throwing, which is, more important maybe than a double play here and there. So,
right.
I think he's fine, and that's sort of all that matters.
Right.
The Eaton thing is incredible because, he didn't play the entire spring like all these other guys did. He came in, halfway through or 75% in, and he just comes out and it's like he's not even missing a beat.
Yeah, to be honest, that worries me a lot. I think, the fact that he's playing so well is going to make it hard to sit him. And I think he needs to sit. And, I'll be interested to see if he's in there today, but he said he's always jogged a little weird and kind of moved around slowly, but he's moving around real slow.
I noticed that, Chelsea. I told the boys this morning. I noticed that, yep.
Yeah, and he says that's normal, and he laughed it off, but, why push? So
right.
I don't think it'll be the worst thing in the world if they get him out of there and maybe he's not hitting 800 in a week, but it scares me more than, as much as it impresses me because I'm paranoid and, whatever, but it's great, obviously, and it's incredible, but you gotta hope Dave Martinez knows when to kind of push the brakes on that one.
But didn't he say that he kind of walks around slow at
home?
That's
what she said.
Yeah,
all that stuff. I mean, I think it'll be fine.
But it's not that he's walking slow. It's that you can tell he's favoring it a little bit. And I guess that's natural.
Yeah, he's still limping. He's still limping.
Yeah,
and that's scary to me because that's just never what you want to see. But he feels fine, and he's been through enough, too, that he doesn't want to get hurt again. So I think that everyone probably knows what they're doing, but I'm paranoid, and it's obvious, to me that he's not 100%. But, I mean, whatever he's doing at 80% or whatever works, so I can see why they want to stick with him.
Mm-hmm. It's just been incredible. Everyone just sort of chipping in. I mean, Brian Goodwin, Howie Kendrick, everybody getting a little piece of the action here. Have we learned anything from Dave Martinez so far in the three games that he's managed? Has he had it? There haven't been too many really tough spots for him yet, right?
No. I think the thing that sort of sticks out to me is that he's not going to be afraid to change and tinker and you know, rest guys. You know, that's one thing I think Dusty did well last year is he made sure that his good big guys were there at the end. And, you know, we saw it in spring training with Zimmerman, obviously. But I don't think Dave Martinez is going to be afraid to sit Zimmerman a couple times a week until June or July. You know, I just think he's – the thing he honed with the Cubs was like, hey, let's give guys our time now because we can plan for October. And I think that's something that works for a veteran team like this. And, you know, you could see a rookie manager wanting to just start off 10-0 and push everybody to the limit, but he seems very comfortable to take his time and let everybody, you know, ease into this.
Chelsea, when Peralta hit Goodwin yesterday in the ribs, Goodwin stared him down a little bit. Sammy Solis actually ended up hitting Votto, but that definitely wasn't on purpose because that loaded the bases. But did you talk to Goodwin? Did anybody on the team think that was an intentional pitch to hit him?
Nobody talked about it afterward. I mean, I can see maybe why Goodwin thought so after hitting a grand slam late, but there was just sort of no incentive to do that there. So,
right.
No, I don't think they were frustrated. You know, I don't know quite. Maybe Goodwin knows something we don't, but, yeah, nobody really read into that, and they were all kind of just eager to get out of Cincinnati and not start anything there. Yeah.
So what should we be concerned about? I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start, right? Dream scenario. Your three aces, they all pitched great. And, you know, I guess Eaton lipping around. Is that about it so far?
You know, I hate to say it, but the bullpen scares me a lot. To have to go to Madsen, really, you know, he didn't pitch Saturday, but he warmed. You know, Kinsler warmed 2 out of 3 days and probably would have warmed yesterday, you know, if they hadn't said, we got to stay away from him. And it's, you know, Sammy Solis has very clearly shown he can't go back-to-back, and he'd be sort of the fourth weapon there. So they're thin. I think they're thin until guys like Matt Grace and Trevor Gott show that, you know, they can be consistent, which they very well might. But I don't look at that and say, I mean, it's obviously infinitely better than last year at this time, but it's not October ready. And fortunately, they have 6 months to get it there, so it's not a huge concern. But it's better than last year, but it doesn't feel as solid as you'd like it. And they've given up a lot of runs over the last 2 days to a team that isn't going to score a lot of runs this year, I don't think.
Yeah, Solis wasn't very good yesterday.
Yeah, he just never looked right. He's always had trouble on day two, but I don't know. Something, he was just all off yesterday, so I don't read too much into it. But, yeah, it was a little scary.
I hate to ask the obligatory Daniel Murphy question, but, what, you know, they – FP pointed out that, like, some of these at-bats, he's kind of standing there. He's, like, taking, you know, pitches. But in the dugout there, you could kind of see him, like, leaning on his legs and kind of feeling it. Like, where are we with this?
I think he's improving. You know, the last week of spring training, he was swinging the cage and he'd be standing upright. And you guys know, like, from watching him, that's not how Daniel Murphy stands in the box at all. He's one of the kind of lowest crouched hitters in baseball. And so it was kind of weird to see him upright and in a clear sign that the legs weren't where he wanted them. As we've sort of gotten into the regular season here and he's taking BP on the field, he's starting to look a lot more like Murphy, starting to move a little bit more in the field. So I think he's just sort of going through the natural progression. And I think it feels like late April, early May is a reasonable target. It also feels like they're not going to rush him. And, you know, I think there's nothing to be worried about there in terms of a setback. It's just going to take a little bit and they have time to give him.
Right. All right. Well, listen, right. I'm excited.
Have fun in Atlanta. So we got Tanner going tonight, and then we got AJ, and then we've got Max in the day game on Wednesday.
Right. Yep, definitely.
All right. And I think we'll be out of the park on Thursday, so I don't know. I know you get out there early. Maybe we'll see you out there.
Come join us on Thursday.
I will. I'll be there.
All right. Thank you, Chelsea. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. This is Chelsea James, everybody. She covers the Nats perfectly.
I like Chelsea. She's very nice.
Yeah, cool chick. I like her. She's good at what she does. And I am excited about the Nats. I'm telling you, of the three teams, even though we're on the cusp of the playoffs for two of them, I'm almost more excited about what this Nats team can do.
Well, the Wizards have to be at the bottom. They've lost 5 of their last 7. Now, I think I've said this all along. I could see them actually making a run to the Eastern Conference Finals just based on
matchups.
If it falls right for them and if John plays well, because I don't think the Raptors are invincible. And Boston's banged up. I know they're playing well. Boston without Kyrie in the playoffs, I think you have a good shot. And the Wizards have played both of those teams very well. So if you play those teams in the first round and you win, then all of a sudden the second round you face the 4-5 winner. But I just try and stay away from Cleveland. Right now they play Cleveland in the first round.
It's hard to predict any success for them right now the way they're playing.
I know you said you're a LeBron MVP guy.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you. I would give it to James Harden. Just team's far better. And he's the best player on the best team. Mm-hmm. And he's putting up numbers, you know, scores more than LeBron. He's basically right
there. Why would you give it to him over Harden?
Because LeBron's the best player in the world.
Yeah, but if he's not having the best year.
You could argue he is having the best year.
The thing is, you can make an argument.
I mean, okay. You could. He had another, right. Just look at the numbers.
He had another triple-double last night.
Well, you're laughing, but I've looked at the numbers.
No, I'm laughing because this was a big thing last week.
We had a big argument last week.
Right, I'm looking at the numbers, and I think they look favorable to Harden, to be honest. But
what I'd
besides
say is,
besides scoring, I mean, it's why would you favor Harden's numbers?
Jason, he
leads the league in scoring, but it's like a point and a half better than LeBron. And LeBron averages more boards, he's more triple doubles. You know, he's the best player.
Mm-hmm. He's the best team
that,
has like 15 less wins.
Yeah,
because his team's not as good.
See, that's where I disagree. But anyway,
he's crazy.
What I wanted to say is, regardless,
Houston definitely has a better
regardless
team.
Regardless of whatever you say about,
they got a freaking Hall of Famer at point guard. But go ahead.
Okay, Kevin Love's a Hall of Famer at power forward.
But he's not playing at a Hall of Fame level like CP3 is. And by the way, Love missed about 30 games.
See what you missed there?
Okay, but CP3 missed a bunch of games. Anyway,
Houston's a better team without James Harden.
That 100%. The Wizards do not want to face the Cleveland Cavaliers because LeBron and that team, they're starting to play a little bit better. Would you say they won 5 in a row?
No, Cleveland's won 3 in a row.
3 in a row.
Yeah. Boston's won 6 in a row.
Okay. Cleveland's won 3 in a row. They seem to be holding on to that 3 seed. So stay away from the 6. I'm cool with them being a 4, 5, 7, or 8. Just stay away from the 6.
Right. Right. Well, the only option right now, well, they have 2 options, 7 or 8. Because they're not going to get to the 5 or the 4. 7 or 8.
And where are they today?
6.
But they're only Cleveland, they're only a game up on the 7 and 8 spot.
Right. But they're going to play Cleveland and lose to them, so that'll help.
And they play Houston next.
They play Houston and Cleveland next, both on the road.
Maybe they'll sit John some more,
right, too. So then they will have
lost. What do you want? Do you want them to play Boston, or do you want them to play?
Their next two.
I think they match up reasonably okay with Boston, to be honest with you. Now, they could easily beat us, and they did last year. But I just feel like it's more doable.
Seems like they've matched up pretty well. I mean, I know LeBron has gone nuts against them a few times with the 50s, you know, 50 point games, but it seems like they've had some pretty decent success against Cleveland too.
They have, but all that being said, even though I'm pro Harden, I think for MVP, I wouldn't want to face LeBron.
And then with the Caps, I think, look, it looks like Groovy's going to be the goalie. When we had Tariq El-Bashir from NBC Sports Washington, he said that he was doing some numbers crunching. Here are the numbers. Groovy, since Thanksgiving, 15-4-2. A 940 save percentage and a 1.84 goals against average, best in the league.
Right.
So there should be some optimism.
Well, you've been looking for a hot goalie for years.
They got the hottest guy since Turkey Day.
Yeah.
It's number not one
even,
guy.
It's not even a consideration. He's the guy.
He is the
so,
guy.
All that said, you still got Nats number one with 159 games to go.
Kinda.
Hey, it's a good start, and lock it up. They're going to be in the playoffs, so. We'll be talking about it throughout. Remember, Adam Eaton joins Grant Danny coming up at 11 a.m.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.